Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Still breathing, are we?
Still breathing, still battling on.
Yeah, how was the weekend?
Being at home with a five-year-old and a three-year-old is not a great deal of fun when you're cooped up, but clearly people have much greater issues than that, so we're thankful that we're able to go in our garden and just try to take it down a notch or two.
You've been edging the borders.
Edging the border? No, not exactly.
No.
But it was freezing cold Saturday, but Sunday was a little bit nicer. So if it warms up, things will get perhaps a little bit easier in the UK.
You didn't go to West Wissering Beach then?
I certainly didn't. Mrs. Potts is very strong on where we can and can't go, believe me. So I think the advice to most people is to stay at home as much as you can, and we're certainly adhering to that.
Yes, I don't think a lot of people were listening though, by the looks of it.
No, people enjoying the beaches across Europe, but the reality is that the price they pay could be significant for that day of enjoyment.
And you were saying that even the Waitrose in Cobham has been a victim of panic buying as people sort of fill up their chest freezers.
You can't buy anything in Waitrose. You can't buy meat, you can't buy fish, you can't buy fruit, vegetables, bread, milk, pasta. I mean, there's... something, toilet paper, I mean, forget that. I mean, that is the holy grail in Cobham at the moment. So there's, panic buying is pretty much full on here.
Well, I'm happy to say that it all seems to have calmed down here. We did have some panic buying last week before the government placed us all in lockdown, but now the supermarkets are staggering people going in. So I had to wait outside the supermarket for 20 minutes and stand at least 2 metres away from the person in front of me and behind me. But when I got in, all the shelves were full.
Very nice. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I hope that continues to be or becomes the case here in the UK, because listening to the Prime Minister over the course of the weekend, he spent a lot of time, I know, with the supermarket bosses, saying that supply chain still remains strong. As long as we continue to shop in our normal pattern, all should be well from that perspective.
OK, here's a question from Michael. Are you ready?
Please.
Are the Chinese buying up low-priced stocks and shares in this crisis?
There's very little evidence of that coming through. I mean, last week was another week of destructive selling and violent volatility in global financial markets. Stocks fell to multi-year low. Oil prices continued to tumble. Bond yields were pushed lower. So there's very little sign that there's bias in any real strength shining through, particularly coming through from the likes of China. So I think we can put that alongside the other conspiracy theories that have been put out there.
He also says he's heard the Chinese economy is still growing in the crisis. If so, that's strange, isn't it?
Well, I think China's still going to go through a very difficult time, and the Chinese economy, we think, is likely to have contracted by 8% in the first quarter. Activity ground to a halt in China if you look at the survey data. So there's very little sign of that coming through. We've reduced our growth forecast quite dramatically for China for the full year. So still talking about, if memory serves me correctly, somewhere around about 3.2% or somewhere around that sort of figure. But that's probably half of what we saw compared to the 6.1% that we saw during the course of 2019, which, remember, was the lowest since the early 1990s. So the Chinese economy has been suffering. The positive news, I suppose, is that they're starting to reduce some of the restrictions in China. So the number of organic new cases is zero in China. So the good news for the rest of the world is containment can work, and perhaps we can take some joy from that. And actually, you start to see it in Italy, strangely enough. On the positive side, I mean, we know Italy has actually surpassed their deaths compared to China. But in the past 24 hours, Italy has announced an increase in the infection rate of 9%. That's the lowest that we've seen since this outbreak began. So perhaps we can all take joy in that. And markets, that's the key thing that markets are looking for. They're looking for the peak of this pandemic. We start to get evidence when that's likely to be. That will calm market nerves quite considerably.
Yeah, just going back to the Chinese question. I mean, we know how industrious and shrewd the Chinese business world is. So you wouldn't sort of bet against them starting to snap up a lot of stocks in large conglomerates in the West when and if they think it's the right time to move.
Yeah, there's an element of that, I suppose, and investors are thinking about that as well. Maybe we'll start to see a pickup in M&A activity across the board, particularly as valuations are very cheap, and we've seen movement in currencies that can also encourage that process to take place. But for many companies, it's about business stabilisation as opposed to trying to take advantage, building war chests as and when required, paying their staff, of course, is incredibly important, making sure their business continuity plans are in place, as opposed to thinking, expanding or taking advantage should of some of the factors that we've been seeing in markets.
Okay, talking about the markets, S&P futures down heftily again this morning, and a lot of analysts saying that so the markets won't turn until there is some conclusive evidence that the pandemic's being brought under control.
Yeah, I think that's right. US equities underperformed during the quarter last week, had their worst week since the financial crisis. The reality of the crisis truly began impacting the domestic economy. S&P 500 fell to its lowest level in 3 years, closed down 15% last week, the biggest decline, as I say, in a decade. Now 32.1% below its all-time high that was achieved just back on February the 19th. How quickly the world has changed since then. In Europe, Stock 600 rallied actually at the end of last week. It was down 2.1% over the course of the trading week, still down 32.5% from its 52-week high. But as you quite rightly say, big falls in Asia. We've seen the Indian stock market down 12% overnight as they move towards lockdown. Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 4.5%. We are looking at big falls on the European bourses. We're minutes away from the open. Currently calling the FTSE down 379 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 752 points. CAC 40 in Paris down 335 points.
Would there be any sense in actually closing markets down for a few weeks?
I don't think so. There's some debate around that taking place, and there have been some measures. I think the London Stock Exchange announcing that companies do not have to make their interim statements, which is something that markets, of course, rely on. So that flow of information won't be there. But you still believe transparency around markets is an important process that takes place, and we're not at that stage where we have to do that. Now, stock markets, of course, were closed after 9/11. That was to do with infrastructure problems as opposed to trying to halt some element of sentiment in markets. So while I think markets are still operating in an orderly fashion, which you could argue they have, although we have been seeing very, very big falls, but technically operating in relatively good order, there's no need to stop markets at this stage.
And the other thing is that we've seen repeated measures taken by governments and central banks, but the message is it's not enough yet, that they have to open the taps as wide as they possibly can and don't turn them off.
Well, central banks, governments have reacted aggressively to support economies and stabilise markets. Central banks have slashed interest rates to historically low levels. They've restarted quantitative easing programmes and begun injecting massive amounts of liquidity into the system. Governments have instigated substantial fiscal policies to try to reduce the risk of that medical crisis turning into a financial one, have long-lasting implications for global growth prospects. I suppose policymakers learned a number of lessons during the 2008 financial crisis. They include the importance of acting early and in size. I think as we've seen by the speed and the scale of the policy response to COVID-19, officials are hoping not to repeat those past mistakes. We should remember, of course, these measures will not solve the immediate medical concerns, the resulting disruption, but they will support long-term demand. Perhaps more importantly, they will provide much-needed liquidity for companies and for financial markets.
So what's the future of free market economics now then?
Well, maybe we'll return to that at some point. I mean, growth forecasts have been coming down quite dramatically. Most notably, we're now talking about a contraction for the full year in the US economy of 0.6%. For Europe, we think the Eurozone will contract by 2.4% during the course of this year. UK, we think the economy will shrink by 1.1%. To give you the global growth numbers, we expect growth just 0.4% this year now. That compares to 3.2% in 2019. Economists, to remind you, consider below 2% a global recession. In terms of the medium-term output, well, I think the impact we still believe will be material. It will be sharp, but we still believe it will be temporary. We think the global economy will be able to overcome this, and we've watched the medical data very carefully indeed, but still projecting a bounce back in 2021, where we've got growth currently projected at 3.9%. So let's hope that turns out to be the case.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar has recovered in the last couple of trading sessions, but still coming in a pretty lowly 1.17. Euro dollar 1.07, going to get €1.08 for your British pound this morning.
Okay, maybe talk to you tomorrow, maybe not.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Hank Potts from Barclays.